So, in terms of addressing the Geula, we have to, like I said, address it on two levels. The first of which is, why, in our view of the ultimate redemption, do we need to be in a specific land to accomplish our goal? Why can't we do it while we're scattered around the world? As Rav Hirsch mentions, perhaps there is even a national advantage to that reality. That's part one. And then part two is, well, then why this land? Why not Uganda, for example? So let's start with establishing, well, let's say it like this. If you assume the answer is, well, our national heritage and history and historic tie to this land, so then, I mean, that's a relatively secular argument for our relationship to Eretz Yisrael. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to come here, and instructed us to come here, at the point that he had, we didn't have history here, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not originally instructing Avraham to go to Eretz Yisrael, Yitzchak to stay in Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov to return to Eretz Yisrael, because of our rich national history in Israel. The message was not about the past. The message was about the future. So what was that vision for the future that milchatchila could have only been accomplished here? So let's start by establishing a clear tie between Klal Yisrael and specifically this land, in terms of our national mission, and then we'll try to get into the why. Avraham was told to come to Eretz Yisrael. It was the first thing that he was told in the first conversation that he had with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that is very strange, and we've spoken about this several times. No matter how big of a Zionist you are, that is strange that that is the first thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu tells the first Navi of his people, the father of his people. Not, I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not, spread my name to the world. Not, I don't know, any number. Not the Aseret HaDibrot. Not, don't kill. Not, go to Israel. This is the first thing. Okay? So that, you have to ask why. Is it the most important thing? Is it more important than Anochi Hashem? It's more important than Aseret HaDibrot? It's more, I mean, what's going on here? So if you want to know the answer to that question, you have to look at the second part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham. Why is he going to Israel? And that pretty much answers your question. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll make you a great nation there. Okay? So it's not necessarily the right formulation to say the most important thing for Am Yisrael is to be in Israel. It seems more accurately that being in Israel is the prerequisite for Am Yisrael to do all the important things they need to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, go to Israel, there I will give you the Torah and you can spread my name and you can accomplish the mission that I have for you in the world and you can do Tikkun Olam B'Malchut Shaddai and you can... He doesn't say that. In fact, he doesn't mention the Torah at all. He doesn't mention following him. He doesn't mention serving him. He doesn't mention calling out in the name of Hashem. He says, go to Israel, I'll make you a great nation. Then I'll tell you, / the nation, what we're doing. Okay, but we can't get to that point without the prereqs that you have to take care of. Basically, from this very first interaction, we can see that it's absolutely critical before we can move forward to be a nation, and before we could be a nation, it's absolutely critical to be in Israel. Once we are in Israel, we can be a nation. Once we are a nation, we can talk about what that means. That's where the Aseret HaDibrot come in, and that's where our Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh comes in, and that's where the Or Goyim comes in, and that's where any number of specific or general klalim you want to mention and what it means to be Am Yisrael. Yes, that's our focus. Maybe that's our primary focus. Maybe that's the reason for existing. Maybe that's the purpose of Torah and Mitzvah. I don't know. We can talk about it, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu was not conflating necessarily Eretz Yisrael with the most significant thing that Avraham was meant to be doing, so much as the prerequisite for being the nation that ultimately needs to be doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be asking them. And that's why it's first. Okay, so we have there the establishment of the relationship between specifically being in Eretz Yisrael in order to be a nation and accomplish our national mission. This has another very interesting, not implication, so much maybe implication or maybe consequence, whatever the right word is. I'll just tell you and then you can tell me what the right word is. So, Chazal assume that certainly Avraham and probably Yaakov and likely Yitzchak as well were Shomer Torah Mitzvot. You can see that most clearly in the pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak about Avraham's Shmirat Mitzvot, that Avraham Shema B'Koli, V'Shamar Mitzvotai, V'Toratai, V'Mitzvotai, V'Chukotai, V'Gzerotai, okay. And Chazal take this very literally. Yes, he kept all the mitzvot, even the derabanans. Kept everything. Now that's obviously interesting. It's obviously a chiddush because, well, this was before Matan Torah, and lichora they weren't chayav. Okay, so I'll say yeah, they were makayim like someone who was eino mitzuva veose. It's not the same as being Mekayim like you are Mitzuva Veose. They were Mekayim like someone who is Eino Mitzuva Veose. Now that's important. That they were not Chayav in Mitzvot, but they're Mekayim them anyway. Okay. Now, a classic question is asked that many Mefarshim take to answer, which is we see several instances where that's not the case. Where they don't keep Torah Mitzvot. Maybe one of the most famous examples is.
He gives him meat and butter. That's not him.
Keeping Torah mitzvah doesn't mean that you require the angels who you think are Arab travelers keep Torah mitzvah. So I don't know if that's such a big kasha against Avraham. But where we see one of the avot themselves very clearly violating Isra De'oraita is Yaakov marrying two sisters. And the Ramban there has a tremendous chiddush. Which is the Avot only kept the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. First of all, the Maharal does not like the chiddush. And as you know, I'm generally partial to the Maharal's explanation, but let me try to defend the Ramban for a second. I think that there's a lot behind the Ramban's Shita in order to get where he's coming from. So, I think we may have spoken about this, but Rav Nevenzahl has an unbelievable insight that another kashya we ask on the Avot keeping the Torah Mitzvot is their erection of Bamot. Right, they would offer korbano on a bama, whereas in the Torah it is osur to offer on a bama. You must offer on a mizbeach. Now the answer there that Chazal give is that there was a switch. Okay, it only became osur when the Torah was given.
What's the it's also in between the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash. They were allowed to just build this
bathroom
wherever they wanted.
Right. Shat heter. Now, you can say, you know, like, oh, that's confusing. Everything only became usher at Matan Torah. What do you mean it only became usher at Matan Torah? Everything only became usher at Matan Torah. No, think of it like, think about it like this. There was action. Everything that the Torah ushered, in theory, was as relevant before Matan Torah as it was after Matan Torah, just no one was chayav in it. Okay? But the bamot were not even relevant before Matan Torah. Okay? So, for example, this is not the perfect example, but it'll help us understand it. Okay? It's like the difference in Gid Hanashe before Yaakov was hit versus after Yaakov was hit. Now, I don't know that that's exactly L'chol Adeo that everyone would agree in terms of Gid Hanashe, but what you could argue is that if the Isser Gid Hanashe was actually because Yaakov was hit, then it wasn't relevant to keep it before Yaakov was hit. Now, the Nafka Mina being, could Avraham and Yitzchak eat from the Gid Hanashe? Okay. So, practically speaking, is that the same? I don't know. But it just helps us understand the difference between something being relevant, but not yet chayav, versus something not even being relevant. The bamot were not relevant, but not chayav. It was not relevant. The question is why? Rav Nevensal says the Yesod is understanding the difference between the Bama and the Mizbeach. Structurally speaking, what is a Bama and what is a Mizbeach? A Mizbeach is a collection of several rocks put together and slaughtered upon. A Bama is one massive stone that you slaughter a korban on. Okay? When we got the Torah, our koach in the world, our relationship to God, our strength was in numbers, basically. Our significance in this world was as a nation, as a group of many individuals committed to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Now, that was our koach. That's who we were. No one of us independently was ra'oi levad, but all together we could serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not who the avot were. The avot before Matan Torah were individual giants. Avraham was all of Klal Yisrael. The mission incumbent upon each and every one of us collectively of spreading HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and bringing him into the world in every facet and every way that can only be accomplished by all of us together was Avraham's personal mission. And then it became Yitzchak's personal mission. And then it became Yaakov's personal mission. The difference between the Avot and the Toladot, basically, the Avot and Klal Yisrael, is that Am Yisrael serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a collective. But Avraham was that entire collective. Am Yisrael has a national mission. Avraham had the entirety of the national mission. Okay, I think, Rav Nevensal doesn't say this, but I think there's an interesting raya or implication to this idea. You never really see an overlap between the avot. You never really see an overlap between the avot. What do I mean by you don't see an overlap between the avot? First of all, you almost never see Avram and Yitzchak talking. They speak one time. But, perhaps more significantly, when Yitzchak gets married, right, when Rivka comes comes home, the Torah records the death of Avraham. That is not when Avraham dies. Just do the math. It's not that complicated math. Avraham dies much later. And we know Avraham dies in Yaakov and Esav's childhood. Right? And Yaakov's making the Nezid Adashim for his father because Avraham had just died and his father's in Ovel. It's like his father just died. Avraham just died. Avraham died in Chayisara. Now what's interesting is the same thing happens with Yitzchak. Okay, Yaakov gets married, but he gets married in Aram Naharaim. But what happens when he comes back there to Israel, when he makes his way back home?
Rivka dies, and then Yitzchak.
Well, Rivka and Yitzchak die. Okay. It doesn't say that Rivka dies. It's funny. It doesn't say that Rivka dies at all, but you work out the math and she does. It says that Yitzchak dies, but you work out the math and he doesn't. Years later, you know when Yitzchak actually dies? Or a little bit before Yaakov goes down to meet Yosef in Mitzrayim. He was alive the whole time that Yosef was gone. Why does the Torah say he died beforehand? Whenever you see one Av taking over the mantle for the other Av, the other Av, the original Av is out of the picture. We never hear about them again. It says they died, even though they actually died years later. Because, and if we're going to get a little bit more esoteric here, the national, what I've been calling the national mission, but maybe is more appropriately characterized as the national neshama, the national entity known as Knesset Yisrael, right, was possessed entirely by Avraham Avinu and passed down to Yitzchak. It wasn't shared. We weren't a group of people. It was Avraham with the entirety of the national mission. When he passes that on to Yitzchak, when Yitzchak gets married, he doesn't maintain anything for himself. He's not in the picture anymore. The same goes for Yitzchak to Yaakov. Now Yaakov gets married beforehand, but he's not in Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about that in just a second. That Yaakov can't do the national mission without being in Eretz Yisrael. This comes back to Eretz Yisrael, then Yitzchak dies. The Rav Nevenzahl points out is that when the entirety of the national mission was an incumbent on a singular giant, you could serve God by offering a korban on one massive stone. But when the national mission could only be accomplished by a collection of individuals who come together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have to sacrifice on a mizbeach, a collection of individual stones brought together. Okay. All of that being said, let's try to understand the Ramban's Chiddush a little bit more. Not only is it that Avraham was responsible for the entirety of the national mission, okay? Meaning Avraham kept the Torah as Klal Yisrael, basically. Do we understand what I mean by that? Like, Avram is responsible for executing the national mission of Klal Yisrael, okay? That's why he has to keep the Torah. Because how is the national mission of Klal Yisrael executed? Through keeping the Torah. But actually, that's the only reason Avram has to keep the Torah. Why do we have to keep the Torah? I guess it's twofold. Number one is, we are part of the nation which is meant to execute the national mission of Klal Yisrael. So we have to keep the Torah. Because if the Torah is how you accomplish that national mission and you're part of the nation, then you have to keep the Torah in order to accomplish that actual mission. But that's not the only reason why you have to keep the Torah. You also have to keep the Torah because you're mechuyav as an individual. So you have two reasons. By your individual neshama, and by your participation in the national neshama. You're chayav on the individual level, and you're chayav on the national level. Avraham was chayev. Avraham was one person. But he wasn't chayev on the individual level. The Torah hadn't given yet. But he was chayev on the national level. Okay. Now, let's think for a second about our individual mitzvot versus our national mitzvot. What mitzvahs do you accomplish as an individual? Give me an example. Tefillin. Great example. No one's doing that for you. And if one person in Klal Yisrael puts on tefillin, everyone else still needs to. Okay? What's another example of an individual mitzvah that you're chayiv in?
Kriyat Shema.
Great. Okay? What's an example of a national mitzvah?
Shemitah,
in a sense. Shemitah has some elements of both, to be honest.
Milchama
mitzvah. It's debatable whether you have... If Klal Yisrael has the army they need, and they don't need you, do you have to serve in the army? Doesn't seem like it. Right? Meaning, there were times in Tanakh where we davka prioritized a smaller army for whatever reason. Maybe to make it clear, Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand, and everyone else was sent home. They were putter. But how can you be putter? How could you be putter from the mitzvah? You're chayev. No. You're not chayev. Klal Yisrael needs an army. Okay? You're chayev as an extension of Klal Yisrael's need for an army. If they don't need you, you're not chayev. You get how that works? It's not your individual chiyuv. We can't say, actually, we have enough people saying Kriyat Shema today. Take a break.
Well, with the army, doesn't it say that if you're scared, you can leave? That's not really...
Klal Yisrael doesn't need anyone who's scared. Or they don't want anyone who's scared. I think it's going to be detrimental. Okay? There's also... So this is our concept, right? Is that whether... It doesn't matter how many people are saying Kriyat Shema. You still have to say Kriyat Shema. Okay? It does matter how many other people are fighting. If we have the army that we need, you might not be chayav in it. Okay? Let's think about the Korban Tamid, for example. The Korban Tamid, the Kohen brings the Korban Tamid, right? But it's not the Kohen's mitzvah, it's the Kohen's job. Whose mitzvah is it? Klal Yisrael's mitzvah. Okay? As long as one person is doing it, everyone else is good. In fact, they would have a group of Yisraelim who are just there as like a representative of the fact that like we're taking it seriously and we realize this is about us too. Because otherwise we would just have no contact with it whatsoever. As long as one person is doing it, the rest of us are fine. And Me'ikar HaDin, we don't even have to be concerned about it. But if no one's doing it, well, it's everyone's responsibility. So, you may notice that there is an interesting theme or pattern that run through the mitzvot which are incumbent upon Klal Yisrael as opposed to the mitzvot which are individual chiyuvim. What is perhaps the running theme between those mitzvot which are incumbent upon the nation? They're really only relevant here. There's no, like, this is where the mitzvah is, right? Is it about the korbanot? Is it about melech? By the way, the appointment of a king is also incumbent upon Klal Yisrael, okay? Is it about dinim? Is it about milchama? All of these things which no individual has the responsibility for, but everyone is shayach to, as an extension of their shaychut to the nation, are only in Israel. That's what creates this dynamic between the national mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael versus the individual mitzvot, which are relevant everywhere. Okay? This fits very nicely with how we started. Avram was told, go to Israel, I'll make you a nation. Mashma, only in Israel, I can make you into a nation. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mitzvah that can only be accomplished by the nation, he only gives us that mitzvah in Israel. We can't be a nation anywhere else. Now we can understand better the Ramban's Shita, and I'll try to prove it to you that this is the Ramban's Shita. Avraham was not chayev as an individual, it was before Matan Torah. He was chayev in Torah as an extension of his responsibility to execute the national mission. Even though he was the only one in the nation. He's still, that was him. Okay? Now, if you're chayav, not on an individual level, but on a national level, then where are you chayav? Only in Eretz Yisrael. Now you understand why the Ramban thought that the Avot only kept the mitzvot in Israel. They're not chayav as individuals. What do they have to do in Chutz La'aretz for? The individual chiyuvim of the Torah are relevant in Chutz La'aretz. The national chiyuvim of Israel are only relevant in Eretz Yisrael. Avram's not chayev as an individual. He's chayev as the representation of Klal Yisrael. He's just the only one. By the way, this is why Yaakov, the first pitzul that we see between an individual responsible for all of the nation and many responsible for all of the nation is between Yaakov and the Shvatim, where the national mission is divided amongst the Shvatim. So here's something interesting. Look at the brachot that Yaakov gives his kids. Okay, they're less brachot and more
tasks
or missions. What does he tell Yehuda his job is? The monarchy, the government. What does he tell Dan his job is? Dinim, the court system. What does he tell Gad his job is? Gidud, army. What does he tell Yisachar his job is? Chinuch. What does he tell Zvulun his job is? Merchants. He gives each one of his children a piece of what it means to be the nation. Yaakov beforehand was responsible for all of those things. As was Yitzchak, as was Avraham. And does it say that Yaakov Avinu died before his time? No, it doesn't. In fact, it doesn't say he died at all, because he transferred all of himself over to the Shvatim. But unlike Avraham, it's interesting because the model really starts with Terach. I'm not really 100% sure what to do with that, because Terach, it also says, dies the moment things switch to Avraham. Avraham dies when it switches to Yitzchak. Yitzchak dies when it switches to Yaakov. This doesn't happen with Yaakov, because it's not one individual bearing the entirety of the national mission anymore. The national mission is divided by Yaakov amongst his children. There's no need to say that Yaakov dies.
Wasn't there an opinion that originally Yitzchak was planning on splitting up Eretz Yisrael, the responsibilities between Esav and Yaakov?
That's a shita. It's a shita that this was Yitzchak's intention. Was it ever a Kadosh Baruch Hu's intention? I don't know. But it's a shita. So, now, why am I convinced that this is an accurate reflection of the Ramban's shita? Because the Ramban himself very clearly divides between different matarot of the mitzvahs. Okay? There is... It would seem that the mitzvahs really have two, not just two categories of mitzvahs, individual and national, but really two goals. Okay? The purpose of the mitzvot is to generate this ideal mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Okay? The mitzvahs facilitate the national goal. The national mission. Now, while that's the goal, they still have a profound impact on the individual who's a part of them. But that's not necessarily the goal of the mitzvahs. So it's like this. Let's say you want to exercise, but you can't really get yourself to, and you're out of a job. So you said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work for a moving company. That'll be unbelievable exercise. Boxes up and down stairs. It's cardio. It's weights. It's everything. Okay? Now, it would be incorrect to say that the goal of the moving company is the fitness of their employees. The goal of the moving company is to get people's stuff from one place to another. The individuals who are working for the moving company may be happy with the fact that they are getting in shape through this process. But that's the inflexive impact of participating in the goal as it pertains to the individual. It is not a good reflection of what the goal of the company is. That's the mitzvot. The mitzvot facilitate or make possible, enable the execution of Klal Yisrael's national mission. What do they do to you as an individual? Oh, they refine your neshama and bring you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu and give you Olam Haba and all these things. Fine, but the mitzvot have a goal. The moving company's goal. What do they do to you? Separate question. The Ramban seems to think that the goal of the mitzvahs, Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, you know, whatever it is, the goal of the mitzvahs exists within the framework of Eretz Yisrael and nowhere else. Okay? But the impact the mitzvahs have on the individual, there's no reason to differentiate between Israel and anywhere else. It's not the goal of the mitzvah, but that's not to say it does anything less to you. Now, if there is a mitzvah which is only about the national mission and not about the individual, then you don't have to do that at all in Chutz Laretz. Everyone follow that? If there's a mitzvah which its goal is national, but it impacts the individual, so while you may be missing the goal, you still have every reason to do it in Chutz Laretz. It's still impacting you in the same way. But if there's a mitzvah which only has the national goal and lacks the individual component, then you have no reason to do it in Chutz Laretz. Okay? Now, how do I know that's the Ramban's Shita? There's like a famous, somewhat misquoted Shita of the Ramban regarding all of mitzvot in Chutz Laretz. That he says what? Their practice. Now, people take this Ramban, I think, out of the hekshere of that specific comment, as well as his broader philosophy on mitzvot. What does it mean that they are a practice? It means on the national level that they are a practice. Because the goal of the mitzvah in Chutz Laretz cannot accomplish what it's meant to. Now, in terms of what it does to you, the performer, there's no difference. Okay, all of Gdolei Yisrael throughout the last 2,000 years who never stepped foot in Israel were refined by their performance of the mitzvah in Chutz Laretz no less. They get full schar mitzvot. Because the impact that Asiyat HaMitzvot has on the individual is no different in Chutz Laretz. Then what do we mean that it's for practice? Because the mitzvah only existed in the first place to execute the national mission, which you can't do there. For you, it has the same impact on you. Shkoyach, but that's not what we want. Right? So it's like, you know, it's like joining the basketball team and working really hard on your fundamentals. Okay? If you're not on the team, that work on the fundamentals, going to practice, is not helping the team win. You're not on the team. It's still going to help you improve as a player. There's no difference in how working on your fundamentals helps you when you're on the team versus when you're not on the team. You work on your fundamentals, you get better at the fundamentals. When you're on the team, working on the fundamentals contributes towards the goal of winning. When you're not on the team, you can't contribute towards the goal of winning. It doesn't make any difference, though, for your individual development. But it doesn't help the team at all. That's the idea. That's the Ramban's philosophy on mitzvot more broadly. You have the individual sphere, you have the national sphere. Some mitzvot have both elements, in which case, in Eretz Yisrael, you're accomplishing the purpose for which the mitzvah exists, and benefiting from the impact it has on you in, as an individual. In Chutz La'aretz, you're benefiting from the impact it has on you as an individual, but not the goal of the mitzvah. Practice, that's what he calls it. And then you have the national mitzvahs that aren't even incumbent on you upon you as an individual. So those you don't need to do at all. That's not according to the Ramban, that's according to everyone. You don't have those mitzvahs. And then there are the avot who only had the national responsibility and not the individual responsibility. It was before Matan Torah, they weren't chayv, so they only did that in Eretz Yisrael. That's, I think, a more accurate way of understanding the Ramban's perspective on these different elements of the mitzvahs. The Torah has a really, I mean, in several places, but the Torah has a really cool way to kind of see the to see the division between these two domains. And these are the type, you know, this and other places are perhaps where the Ramban learns this from. We say we juxtapose two different prakim in the Torah every single day, multiple times. That's Ve'ahavta and Ve'haya. Okay? We say them right next to each other. And that should help us understand the difference between the two, but we generally miss it. Okay? Grammatically speaking, they're very different. So you tell me what the difference is.
We or us.
Excellent. I didn't even have to get into the
haya.
Okay? Ve'ahavta, you, individual, et Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavah. Cha, uvechol navshe, cha, uvechol meode, cha. You had very ma'el asher, rochim mitzav, cha, hayom, alvech. Do I need to go on? Okay, we get the point, right? Vehaya im shamoa tishme'u. Etchem. Yeah? You understand the difference? Individual, plural. Okay? What's the reason for the distinction? Well, what is Ve'ahavta talking about? The development of your individual relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is Ve'hayayim Shamoa talking about? Keeping the mitzvot.
And getting kicked out of Eretz Yisrael if you don't.
And getting kicked out of Eretz Yisrael if you don't. And what happens if you do? You stay in Eretz Yisrael, and you get the rain necessary for staying in Eretz Yisrael. And Ve'asafta, right? You're going to, you know, you get to, right? Everything works out. Everything works out. You're in Israel. All the rain's going to come at the right time. You're going to have plenty of food, but you don't keep the mitzvot. I'm going to kick you out of Eretz Yisrael. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is addressing matters related to living in Israel properly versus getting kicked out of Israel, he addresses the nation as a group. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is addressing the individual and their responsibility to develop a relationship with God, he addresses us as individuals. Individuals. These are the two elements. By the way, this is where the following of Rav Kook's ideology gets their name from, so to speak, or the title of their hashgafa, right? What do we, you know, what the followers of Rav Kook generally identify as what hashgafa? Dati Lumi. Dati Lumi is saying something a little bit different than religious Zionist, in a sense. Okay? Dati means religious. Le'umi means national. Now, for Rav Kook, religious and national I will talk about this next week, Amir Tzashem. For Rav Kook, religious and national were not two values, like you have the God stuff and you have the national stuff. Religious and national were two expressions of one value, which is doing Ratzon Hashem. Religious represents the individual avoda you have in doing the Ratzon Hashem, and the Le'umi is the national responsibility. It's not two values, religious and national. That's kfira, right? It's one value. It's Ratzon Hashem, to serve Him on an individual plane and on a collective plane. Dati Lumi means you take seriously both the individual responsibilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and your broader participation in the national responsibilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. So these are the two planes on which our responsibilities exist. And this is the origin, the makor, both textually and philosophically, for specifically our conceptualization as a nation responsible for a national mission, national goals, national mitzvot, existing only in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to our individual responsibilities, our individual religious responsibilities, which are apparently equally relevant no matter where we are. You have the same individual development no matter what. You know, which is a little bit comforting for someone who never, you know, who lived in the last 2,000 years and never made it into Israel. But as a nation, I wouldn't say our national mission is frozen, as we were speaking about last week. It was like our national development before gaining the opportunity to execute our national mission. It wasn't dead time. We weren't doing nothing. We were developing. Once we come back, exactly, developing for the purpose of Kadosh Baruch Hu returning to us our national mission here. That's the idea. As we spoke about last week, being a nation of strong individuals. A nation of strong individuals. Beforehand, you could tell from the Navi, we were a nation of irreligious, idol-worshipping individuals. What does that help anyone with? Right? We were like, I don't really need to daven or do tshuva or take anything seriously or have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu because the Kohen is bringing the korbanot. Right? I'm serving in the army. Yeah, we were a nation. But we weren't religious individuals. So God sent us the galut so we could learn how to be religious individuals without an over-reliance on being a nation. But now it's time to come back, so that we can be a nation of strong religious individuals. That's the background information that we need to discuss the point of why that mission can only be accomplished in a specific land, and why that specific land is Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about that next week.